The Diesel Podcast.
Digital integration in English as a second or other language.
Episode 21. Happy birthday, Diesel, and Adobe Spark for ESOL.
Hello, and welcome to the Diesel Podcast, episode number 21. We are your hosts. I am Brent Warner.
And I'm Michelle Reyes.
Hi, Michelle.
Happy
How's it going?
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's Diesel. Our birthday.
So you were supposed to sing the happy birthday song to the podcast so that the podcast itself feels love. Are you ready?
Ready? No.
You have to do it alone. We just want to hear your singing voice.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear.
Diesel.
Happy birthday to you.
Yay, very well done. And blow out the candles. Awesome. So we made it a year, Michelle. That's pretty good.
We made it a year. And it is, you know, on my timeline the other day on Facebook, we had, the yearly reflection pictures pop up. And There was one that said, "We are working on something big coming in less than a week." And it had the little construction truck.
Oh, yeah. We put that.
And it was, yeah.
on the little holder page, right?
Yep. And here we are.
Yeah, cool. So this is what was big that we were building. And we've talked about this before, but like the statistics of podcasts, most last less than 10 episodes, and we're more than double that now. And we've made a few changes. We're always upgrading. We're always shifting on things. But I think it's been a pretty good year. It's been a hard year. the real year has been hard, but the year of the first year of Diesel is pretty good. I think we've gotten some really good feedback. People are listening regularly, all those types of things. So that's, to me, you know, for a little super niche education inside of education area, that's pretty good. So today we're going to do a little bit of reflections on a year, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Adobe Spark in the classroom for your ELs, and kind of keep it a little light today, I think. Just enjoy our birthday, right?
That's right.
All right, let's shift over. Okay, so reflecting on a year of Diesel on our birthday. So I thought we might talk a little bit about, we've had now 20 previous episodes and things change, right? Our ideas change about things. Have you had any changing thoughts on, any of our previous episodes, updated, maybe improved, or whatever it is, things that we've talked about in the past that you kind of think need revisiting or changes, complete changes?
I don't know that I've had major changes, but I have revisited different topics. And one that I think both you and I have been revisiting lately is the one about acronyms, which was our very first topic. Mm-hmm. Acronyms in the ESOL, ELT, EFL, ENL, ESOL world, right. In light of events, you know, and in light of what we've been talking about. That's something that I was aware of before, but I'm just so much more actively aware of now. Anytime I'm using it in my own speech, or when I almost feel judgy every time I'm looking at an article, and it's like,
should be this one instead of that one and whatever. Right. Yeah. I noticed the same thing. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I noticed as I started seeing other ESL podcasts popping up, a lot of them did kind of the same topic, which is let's talk about the acronyms, right? And so like everybody recognizes that this is an issue and a problem. But then also, I'm really still struggling a lot with like, one, we probably, most of us agree that ESL is not great and it has other problems, just, you know, whatever the issues are with it are its own problems. But also, we were talking in the pre-show, forever and ever it's indexed on the internet, and so people are always going to have to search for it that way amongst other ways too, right. So I still don't have an answer. I still have never heard an acronym or a fielding that I'm really happy with, and I'm just like, oh yeah, that's the one that's going to nail it and just stick forever, right? But I'm going to I am going to free myself of self-judgment from the choice that I make when I use one of these acronyms, because I think we're trying to communicate a bigger idea, and that conversation, while interesting to get nerdy on, is not the best use of our time for actually supporting students.
but this is what we do when we reflect, and that's we're reflecting on that, and that is good.
Yeah.
Another episode that I think, or one that, again, I feel was one of our, I think it was our first interview. It was Carol Salva.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And just, you know, speaking to Carol leaves you so motivated and inspired, and just, you know, she has such a heart for teachers. And one of the things
you listen
that
to her,
noticed,
you run up the stairs, you're punching in the air. You're like, I'm going to do something great right now.
This is why I became a teacher. And one of the things, as we went to teleworking, unexpectedly, there was just such a growth in the number of new Twitter educators out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, you know, I can just imagine the confusion as they're trying to figure out COVID-19 teaching, distance learning, whatever we're forced to call it. And then trying to figure out how other teachers had been doing it for a while. And I noticed that the Twitter community, and what I noticed was they're very embracing and welcoming of them. And it was just like, please welcome, you know, and the Twitter educational community for me has been that way.
Oh yeah. Always.
Where a new person comes in, and at least in the groups that I surround myself with, that's been the case, where we don't teach the same thing, but hey, I'm here and I'll share with you everything you can. Follow this person, follow that person, no problem. And so that, to me, has been something that sticks.
I agree. I mean, there's been some growth in teacher Twitter. I think we go through ups and downs with Twitter all the time, but,
sure.
Sometimes the teachers get burnt out, and that reflects through their posts. And I think that kind of reflects through mine too sometimes, but for the most part, you know, stick with teacher Twitter, stay away from other Twitter. I'm sure there are other great sub communities, but like, you can get really into some negative stuff if you're following the wrong people. So don't follow who Twitter suggests, follow who we talk about.
Yes. Yeah. Be selective and surround yourself by positive influence, positive. I don't want to use the word influencer because it reminds me of YouTube makeup tutorials. But I think that, again, quality PLN.
Great.
Another thing that I think, you know, as we went, again, talking about COVID-19 and teleworking and distance learning, distance teaching, emergency distance teaching, one thing that I find my colleagues and peers out there as well, we're still asking, how do we engage our students through the screen?
Mm-hmm.
Because this has been one of the hardest things to do. And how do you engage when you're competing with video games or time for sleep, or the fact that your student might be in charge of their siblings, or that they're working a job and they have to go to work at a certain time and they're not able to catch up, or it may be an issue of equity. But how do you engage your students through the screen when we're
there's so
experiencing
much
global trauma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, exactly. When there's a lot of TikTok videos to watch, and how am I supposed to study during all these TikTok videos I'm supposed to be watching?
By the time you hear this podcast, TikTok may have been banned.
True. Perhaps someone in leadership will have taken care of this problem for us. So what a...
We love TikTok.
Do we?
Speaking of TikTok, you know, okay, let's finish it. I have a changing thought.
Oh, really? Wow.
Related to TikTok.
All right. So we'll get to that in a minute. So the question is, we will endlessly have this problem, right? How do you engage students? Because we have always had the problem. How do you engage students inside of your class too, right? Like, it's not, you know, some of us are better. Some of us are worse at that. Some of us are always growing and changing. We always want to be better engagement. I mean, we're all waiting for the day when our classroom is like a is like a Beatles concert, and the students are just screaming and crying and passing out to get into the door. Right. And so, whether it's on screen or whether it's in person, we're always going to be asking about this. But I did want to point out that we still have, and we were going to forever have, flipgrid.com/diesel or diesel.org/flipgrid, either one, where we are still encouraging listeners who come up with ideas, whatever it is that you're doing, to share with other teachers. We don't have a lot on there. You know, some people are just have, a lot of people have watched them, but not a lot of people have contributed. And so if you have ideas, you know, reading, writing, speaking, whatever it is, feel free to drop an idea in there. It's open for all the teachers to share what you got going. And I think that there's a lot of opportunities for other people to share, even people who don't really think, oh, maybe my idea is not that great. Just share it. You know, people just want to know what's going on. So Diesel Flipgrid is open and available.
And there's a lot of ideas in there already by some of our listeners, which I think are, we'll have to tweet them out so that people have access to them as well.
Yeah.
So I just want to tack this TikTok reflection that we talked in the past, maybe not perhaps in the show, on the show, about the issues with privacy, right? You and I had talked about this and you know, it's banned for federal government, for federal workers, or employees. I think it's banned for the army, I believe. I'm not sure. I could be wrong on that, but I know that it's restricted. And in other countries, it's also restricted. But when we had another episode with Denise, Denise Maduli Williams, and she uses Instagram a lot to communicate with her students and to showcase student work. Students use Instagram to respond and showcase their work. And I think that TikTok's become that Generation Z version of what, you know, Twitter used to be, or Instagram was, or Snapchat for a while. You had Snapchat EDU. And I think TikTok is that version of it. And for whatever reason, it's just part of it being that it's pretty easy to edit short videos. Mm-hmm. And I'm not advocating for short pieces of material or saying that a short, just an idiom a day is going to improve your English.
Goldfish in the way mindset. That you,
But it is another way that our youngsters have been able to stay engaged throughout the pandemic. I don't know that TikTok would have gone that direction had we not had to stay home. Maybe it would have been another Vine, because there's a lot there. Yes, there's dancing videos and all that, but there's a lot of other things out there. I mean, we know that I think in these Drinks with Diesel recently, someone said that they were sharing recipes, and I just thought that is cool. That is something really cool. And again, it's more intuitive for a younger crowd, or a digital media consumer. So I guess I've got shifting thoughts on it. I still am not, I consume, I'm not a creator yet, but I'm not going to rule it out.
Interesting. Okay. So you're maybe moving towards TikTok. I'm totally uninterested in it. So you know, I just can't possibly get myself.
But you are uninterested in Snapchat as well.
And I never used it.
Can I just point that out?
Yeah. And I was right, because right. Snapchat's over. So pay attention to me. Listen to me. Do not listen to Ishelle. also point out, my son is 21 and he is completely uninterested in TikTok. And so I don't know. I just think that's also interesting too. And like all of his friends are all on it, and they're like, you know, why aren't you on this thing? And then he's like, whatever, it doesn't really, it's not interesting to me. And I go, and then he said, and then now his friends, of course, like with the banning, the potential banning, they're like, oh, maybe you were right. And so I don't know, maybe it's a bad, maybe it's a bigger thing. I don't know. I like Twitter. I'm just going to stick with Twitter, Twitter for a while.
And Instagram. You love Instagram. I'm not an Instagram person.
Instagram. I got to be careful about that. Instagram is, to me, a necessary evil in certain ways. I often think about closing my Instagram accounts. But
really?
Yeah. Oh, a lot. Quite a lot. Yeah. But there are certain reasons. So
yep.
Anyways, let's continue. So a couple other things just before we move out of this section. Number one, I think that one big thing that has happened for both of us is being more willing to speak our minds on important issues. We've gotten a little bit vocal a few times about important issues for us, and some people didn't like that necessarily, and some people thought it was great. But just being willing to like say what's important to us, say what's important, and I think that's not just you and me. I think that's a lot of people are starting to feel, you know, the injustices that are happening on various levels, whether it be things like Black Lives Matter or whether it be things like the international student ban or, you know, all of these different issues that were, they're right. all kind of at a boiling point. And, you know, some people are still saying, don't speak up when it's not your place to speak up or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that more people are moving towards, you know, these are important issues, fight for what's important. Mm-hmm. You know, what matters to you are things that, you know, if it matters to you, you should talk about it. And so I think that both of us have been more willing recently to talk about those things and to say like, hey, this is right or this is wrong, and try to make a point to educate ourselves and become better about the social needs that are going on around us.
Right. And I think just to add to that, it's not just the willingness to speak your mind on those issues, is the empowerment that comes from doing that. And in so doing, you're also serving as a role model for other people who may be afraid to speak up or maybe, you know, on the fence or they're worried. And I think that it is so important for us who are in the lives of students who maybe immigrants, refugees, maybe oppressed minority groups, all of those. It is so important for them to see us out there speaking up for these these issues.
I did get an email from a student too, because the first thing that happened with the student ban is I sent an email to my students. I said, hey, we're looking into this, what we're going to do. Like within 30 seconds of getting the message that this is going on, that's the very first thing I did. And a student responded back to me saying, you know, that wasn't a thing that was going to affect me because my visa status is not in threat, but it really mattered to me that you actually spoke out and you said that, you know, just to the students, it was a private message to everybody. But, you know, she said that it was important to her to know that the teachers cared about something like that too. So
absolutely. Absolutely. It is powerful. I think, we may be we talk about teachers being ambassadors and teachers being bridge builders and all of those, whatever analogy you want to use, but this is it. This is how we do it. It is building connections, building rapport, and caring about the individual, not simply letting it happen and see who takes care of it.
Right. And I think that's why we pushed a bunch of organizations to say, post something right now about this, right? We said, you know, you need to respond to this immediately. And they said, well, it'll take us several days to get through. And it's like, several days is done. Like several days.
I got called a bro. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. What's up, bro? All right. So my bro, we're going to move on to the next topic. Next little section here, which is, would you have changed anything now that you've kind of dealt with COVID and kind of you've learned these things? I think this is, you know, it's a never-ending question.
2020 vision. Yeah. I mean, your hindsight is 2020, right?
Right,
yes,
right,
we would have done this. We would have had a plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, what would I go ahead and answer that for yourself? What would I have done differently?
I mean,
I think I did the best I could under.
Yeah, I think so too.
Pressure.
Actually, honestly, I think that I have been preparing for this for 20 years, being a tech nerd and for those types of things. So I wouldn't say it's perfect because there's a lot of things that students didn't know, but I think I did a pretty good job. Honestly, not perfect, but I don't do a perfect job in the regular classroom either, right? And so, but as far as like being prepared and like having ready to switch and say like, hey, these are the things that we can do. We've been talking about it for a long time, and all the things that we talk about on this show are preparation for the that setup. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with mine.
I felt that again, and I love a challenge. And so when people tell me no, it can't be done, I always say, let me show you it can. Let me show you I can do it better, and then let me show you how to do it. But I felt that again, with all of the pressure and all of the unknowns, uncertainties, and the fact that some students were not going to have internet for a while, or being on a cell phone versus a laptop. I thought that I was well prepared to handle the differentiation that it would take for me to, you know, to give an assignment, and in the expectations of the amount of work or quality of work or whatever assignments students were giving me back. I had balanced that. I did not have a cow when my students lost internet connection for a day or couldn't log.
Way to age yourself with some phrasing there. I didn't have a cow.
Bart Simpson. Hey, that's how I learned English.
I know. Great. So I agree though. This is the preparation, right? Listening to shows like this, being involved on Twitter, or like being, learning how to use the tools that are today's tools, like that is the preparation. So I actually feel pretty good about that.
And Brent, I saw, and I can't remember, I wish I could remember now so I could give them credit, but this was on Twitter, and it was an instructor who had said that those people maybe different wording, that the techies, or quote unquote techies, were right now the white crayon on a black piece of paper. And so the white crayon is useless normally because you can't color on a white piece of paper. Suddenly now the paper is black, but now everybody's calling for that white crayon.
Wait a second. They're saying that the techies were useless until this came along.
No, but you know how many people were resisting
this person.
And I don't mean like, you know, techies. I just mean in this sense. And then this goes back to a meme that just popped up again on my feed from 6 years ago. It's an old meme. It's got like a robotic looking person and an AI somebody. And it says, the quote says, "Technology won't replace good teachers, but teachers that understand technology will replace those teachers." And so I think that at the beginning of the pandemic, we were the people who had been saying, look, we need to, we should be doing these trainings. We should be moving toward this. Let's go digital. Let's try to balance things out. Let's learn more. I think suddenly we were just like sucked dry from all the calls for help. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what they were intending. It wasn't a negative thing.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. But I'm still going to track them down. Just kidding. Maybe. Let's see. Last thing. One great thing that's happened is virtual learning as teachers. I mean, so many of the organizations are offering cheap or free trainings online. It doesn't cost as much as it does. Yeah, to go to conferences. I'm great with the free ones. I'm great with like some of the paid ones. If the paid ones are supporting the organization or something, I'm really happy with those and I want to do those ones. There was a little bit of an issue with ISTE charging presenters to come be presenters there for the online conference. Yeah. Like that bothers me, but there's just a lot, like literally every single day you can just jump on Twitter and say like, find someone who is presenting something for free that day, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much good stuff going on with virtual learning, people teaching each other, people jumping onto Zoom and just saying, hey, this is how you do this thing. So I think that the virtual learning thing has become really, really big and really useful.
Yeah, to that end, I want to say I was in need of a script to do something with Google Sheets a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. I had no idea where to start. Of course, I did my regular Google search, and then I just jumped on one of the Google for education communities. And this gentleman, this instructor, I think, or tech coach from Canada, happened to send me an email and say, hey, if you can hop on Zoom, I'll show you how this works. Mm. And very quickly during, I think it was my lunch break, and then it was maybe evening, I'm not sure, but it was a difference in time. And 20 minutes, extremely polite, it just showed me how to work the script, what it did, and I had a solution. And this was just, again, stranger for me, but that was just cool. There's so many people out there willing to share their knowledge and help each other out.
That's so cool. Yeah. So there's been a lot of great stuff. I mean, it's been a hard, hard year. And, you know, DSoL started off with positivity in everything and, you know, in a positive world and thinking things are okay, we're going to make things work. And then we got kind of crushed about halfway through, but we are not crushed. I would say we got a load of bricks thrown upon us, much like Thor and the Hulk. And now we are busting out of those, busting out of the bricks, and we're trying to figure out how to move forward. So, so happy birthday, DSoL.
Happy birthday.
All right, Ishel. So today we want to talk a little bit about Adobe Spark mm-hmm. and how we can use it specifically with students. So I think I want to start a little bit. The reason why I wanted to talk about this, one, I wanted a practical tool for teachers to be able to step into the classroom for those who are going back after this episode, something that they can use. But in particular, I was using it during summer school with my students.
Adobe Spark, not to cut you off, but that's a suite of tools, correct?
Yeah, correct. So there are a couple of different features inside of it, and we'll talk about each one of them. But I just wanted to like kind of start off with what some of my students had said about it, because I think that like understanding that students actually like this and students want to use it can kind of help engage and say like, oh, maybe I could use this with my class too. So, so two of the quotes. One quote from one student said, this summer was the first time I used Adobe Spark to make a simple video introduction. It was easy to use, and I displayed pictures, recorded introductions, and played background music. When I used it to complete my speech assignments, I could record my voice repeatedly, pause at any time, and constantly correct my mistakes. When I finished a project, I felt my progress. And that last sentence, I was like, oh, when wow. I finished a project, I felt my progress. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And so it's really... you know, like that to me was a big deal. And I really was very happy to hear her say that. Another student said, I was able to learn how to use Spark a little. I didn't know about this software before, so I was scared to use it at first. But soon after I tried it, I noticed how easy you can make videos and some useful contents, which I hadn't tried yet. Right. And so, again, it's just... This is to say that it's a fairly simple program, part of the Adobe suite, but it's kind of its own break, which is Adobe Spark. And for those who don't know, Adobe Spark has kind of three sections to it. So mm-hmm. it has Adobe Spark Post, Adobe Spark Page, and Adobe Spark Video. So Post, Page, and Video. And each of these breaks down a little bit differently.
So I've only tried two of. I've only fallen in love with two of them.
Okay, okay. Which ones are you familiar with?
Spark Page, and I use almost daily. Spark Post almost daily. I love playing on Spark Post for myself, to play pranks on people, for actually legitimate things. But Spark Video is probably the one I don't think I've created anything on there.
Okay.
So I'm hoping you give me some ideas.
Yeah. So let's talk about those. Let's briefly cover what they are. So Spark Post is basically, it's just meant to be a single graphic image, right? So, so anything that you might post on Twitter, Instagram, on your social media pages, if you wanted to, have a well-designed, image with words or some sort of combination of those, you can use Adobe Spark Post. And it's pretty straightforward. You can do things like infographics. You can do, anything really that you're thinking of that's a single static image would be great for Spark Post. And so, you know, you can have students make memes like based on the readings that you're doing or, you know, so anything kind of fun and simple like that. But that's also what we use, Ishel, for our posts around like new episodes of DSoL, right? And we'll worry about that one a little bit more later, maybe not today, but in the future. And then we got Spark Page, which is a really simple way to build a single web page, right? And so in comparison to Post, Post is like a single image, right? And where Spark Page might be an entire page, right? And it's a better designed graphic page that you can put pictures together with it, but you can also put longer sections of text. You can manipulate that text a little bit more freely, just like a web page, but it comes out as a single page. So if if you're having students do writing assignments in combination with pictures, talking about their experience of doing something as they're writing those out, that would be a really good use of page. And then finally, video. And the video is the one that my students were talking about because I was having them do those as assignments. Video would be more like the video and audio equivalent to page, where it goes, it creates basically a slideshow, and it does automatic smooth transitions between one slide and the next, and you hit record and you record your voice, and it will keep that particular slide and image open as long as your speaking part is going on there. So if I were to say something like, hello, how are you? Right, then that would be a short 2 second slide, and whatever picture I have would be there for 2 seconds, and then it would automatically transition into the next slide, which is saying, you know, I'm having a really good day playing with Adobe Spark, and then that would be the 3 seconds of me saying that with a new picture or new text or whatever that is. Or I could create a longer 5 second slide that is all of me saying that whole thing. So, hello, how are you? I'm having a really good day playing with Adobe Spark video. And what it does is it recognizes how long you're talking and how long it should keep that slide image there. And then it does a professional looking transition from one picture to the next, or from one section of text to the next, which, by the way, I'm gonna point out, I've had friends that used to do this for their careers. Like, used to build these types of things like this for your careers, and you can do it with the click of one button inside of here. And my students, you know, I showed them how to do it, and were instantly able to go in and do these things for themselves. So you have speaking, you can record over and over again until you're happy with what you say, and you can hear each section, and you can, and then you can rearrange all the sections too. So just like little like blocks, right? You can move one block to the next block and change your order around of how you're presenting your information. So really
so
powerful.
Brent, it sounds like the major difference here between this and using like a video editor where you can voiceover is you don't have to worry about then editing the image to match the length of the sound. Is
correct.
That what you're saying?
Well,
that's
Yes, that is a huge pain in the butt if you haven't done it before, you know, stretching that image out and then whatever. But also it moves together with it. So like it might do like a Ken Burns effect or and like the transition between the two. But also, for example, if you put in a text box instead of a picture, then it'll do things like it'll type that text out like someone's writing it by handwriting or by typewriter text, right?
So you can have those effects.
Yeah, so you have all these cool little visual effects going on at the same time as you're talking over your presentation, or as you're creating your presentation inside of a video there.
That is cool.
So yeah, for students then, you know, you can start looking at this as an alternative to presentations, right? Because what they can do instead of just kind of trying to record their voice in one long section and go, okay, well, this is what I said, and then clicking through, for example, like if they just did a screen recorder and just recorded themselves clicking through on a Google Slide, it might not be very engaging. But this one, they can record everything. They can have their voice and make sure they record their little sections, you know, like 5 seconds or 10 seconds over and over again. They go, okay, now I got that part. And so their end product comes together basically edited as they've built it, right? So so when we talk, you know, I mean, we kind of joke about this, but everything is edited in the professional world, right? They cut out all the ums, they cut out all the mistakes and the ways of saying it, they get rid of these things. And so this lets you build it in. And for language learners, that's really great practice. Just do it over and over again until I feel like I'm comfortable with this section. Okay, I got that one. Now when I transition into the next one, am I comfortable with how I'm saying those things? And so one, as you kind of heard from my students' quote there, you know, I got to practice repeatedly, pause anytime, constantly correct my mistakes. And that's just, you know, that was on her. She had the choice to make those and feel like, I want this to be really good before I submit it, which is really powerful.
So Brent, it sounds like, so again, we're using media where students are recording their voice, and we are going to have some shy students, but how do you introduce these tools to your students? What do you do to get them motivated?
So honestly, I could probably be better at this. I just jump right into it and I just show them how cool it is and how easy it is to make a quick video. So all I do is I jump into Adobe Spark at spark.adobe.com. And for the video one, it's not called video in there for whatever reason. It's called presentation, but you click on that and they have some template ones if you want to do like different types of stories, and they can already set it up for you, or you can create your own. But basically, I just start showing them. I just say, hey, you guys, look at me inside of the 3-minute presentation I'm going to do. You're going to see, you know, a 30-second video that I make, and they see it with the transition. I put in a picture that I like, and I can just choose from the Adobe choices there. I put in some icons so it shows a little, you know, spinning star or something like that. I put in my text, and I show them the whole thing as I'm doing it, and then I just click on play, and then I put my sample video that I made live for them right inside of Canvas, so they can go back and watch it and go, oh yeah, you just did that. Was really, really easy to see, like it was only a couple of clicks. And so the hardest part for them usually is just logging into Adobe Spark, getting started.
That sounds fun. It sounds a lot of fun. Like when you're adding effects and you see a finished product, that actually sparks a lot of creativity. So what types of assignments or deadlines do you give with using Adobe Spark suite?
So one we did was during the summer around 4th of July. I had students create their own projects around some part of American history or whatever they were interested in. And so they all went and researched some information on something, right? Like some of them went and looked up like the Underground Railroad, and some of them looked up like the Constitution and different things like that. And so they went and read different resources, and then it was just their responsibility to come back and present what they had found. And so really kind of a straightforward and simple thing, but like they were working in groups, so they would go in together. At my school, we have an option for we currently have an option for the little bit more advanced, which allows people to work together on the documents. The totally free version lets them work alone, but anyways, they went in and then they put together a whole presentation on something in American history that they didn't know about before. So it was a culture lesson. It was a language lesson because they had to integrate some of the grammar and some of the functions that we had talked about in class. And it was a speaking and skills presentation at the same time, because they had to record and speak clearly and make sure that their audio and video, you know, were clear and easy to understand. So it wasn't a lot of work on my end, just saying, hey, once you know how to do this, okay, you know, I mean, you can scaffold high or you can scaffold low depending on your needs, but it worked really well. And once they knew what they were doing and they were working in groups, then they were also kind of holding each other accountable for that.
And so is this something that where they're sharing their final product with a link, or does it automatically give you access? How does that work in terms of sharing student the evidence of their work?
Yeah, so there's a link that it puts out. So it's all saved on the, you know, the Adobe Spark server or whatever. And they just get a link. They can actually download the video too. So one great thing that we started doing for our Flipgrid final projects, I said, hey, by the way, you guys can build this whole thing in Adobe Spark and then just upload it to Flipgrid as your project. And a lot of them ended up doing that.
That's cool.
Yeah, so they just did a little app smashing, and they're like, oh, because they started going like, oh, I can do this cool thing, and that's how I want it to look in Flipgrid. Like, that's how I want to show it. And so I had one student that combined them. One of my summer projects was just learn something that you've always wanted to learn that you never knew how to do. And so that was the whole assignment. And then you have to talk about how to do it later. And so one student did this really cool yoga video. She learned different yoga poses, and then she was she combined her videos of herself into the Adobe Spark, and then she put over like the text over like what the pose was that she was doing, and then she did that for several different poses and then uploaded that all to Spark and then downloaded the whole thing as a single video and then uploaded that to Flipgrid as her final result. So it was just
that
very
cool.
And she didn't, she's not techie either. She's not like, she doesn't know how to do all this stuff. She's like, I'm just doing it. I'm trying. And you know, it's like a middle-aged mom just giving it a shot. And she nailed it. It was great.
You know, it, I recently taught, not with video, but I recently taught, I told one of my colleagues, hey, you need to try Spark post. Mm-hmm. So you can make a, they wanted to make a birthday card or something. And I said, and give it to your kids. Just let them figure it out. Sure enough, a few minutes later, she said, hey, my oldest daughter, she's, I think, 12 or 13, just figured it out. Mm-hmm. And then her son, her 8-year-old or 9-year-old, wanted to create things. And he was creating digital badges and cool. little videos. Yeah. So, going back a little bit, I know I've heard from other people that this may sound a little bit like Canva. So how is Spark different from Canva?
Canva and Spark Post, I would say, are pretty similar mm-hmm. because it's just the single graphic. I have not used Canva for anything more extensive, like for the videos and for page. Honestly, I'm not sure. I do like Canva individually for that, but yeah, if it's more robust. It's, you know, it's Adobe built and Adobe supported, and so mm-hmm. For making those pages or for making those videos, there's a lot more going on with Spark.
Yeah. And I have to say that ever since I found Spark, I've abandoned Canva. I found Canva to be a little clunky on the laptop version and on the app version of the phone. And I do most of my stuff on my mobile device.
Yeah.
Canva is just so smooth. And there's a ton of things you can do without, you know, the app crashing all the time. So I don't know that if they've improved on that end, but I've left Canva. I know a lot of teachers are still out there using Canva as well. So I want to go back to Spark Video then. So someone who's new to Spark and mm-hmm. wants to try something out, what do you recommend?
Well, first, I guess I'd just look at what's available, like what you can do with Adobe Spark. And there's a great page, you know, you can just go to spark.adobe.com and go look over everything. But the education page is pretty good. So spark.adobe.com/edu is quite good because it gives a couple of sample videos of things that kids have made. Also a sample Adobe Spark page as well, and then also pricing information, which, by the way, it should be free for most schools. If you go look on there, there's a way to ask them and say, like, hey, we're part of this school, and so if you're signing up as a school, or if you can get your IT director or whoever to sign it up as a school, then it should be free for everybody. But I'm not sure how all the fine details of that work, so you can go look okay. it up on the EDU page.
So there's plenty there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I just wanted to use this as a time to encourage, because we've got a new semester going on. We've got new ways that we're going to need to engage our students. And so I hope that people can kind of take a look at it and say, well, maybe I can have my students do a little presentation through this as a way to show their learning, as a way to show what they've understood and those types of things. And so it's really not hard. And so I just wanted to encourage, you know, for the people who are like, oh, I've got too many things on my plate. This might be one way to, you know, even though it's adding one more thing, it might be a way to alleviate a lot of the other pressures that you have for, you know, student needs.
Thank you. Sounds awesome. Okay, so new with Diesel, we have started up a slow chat. Mm-hmm. You may have participated in our last couple of slow chats. Mm-hmm. A slow chat is a chat where you can participate. There is no time limit, so you can never really be too late unless you don't participate. So
yeah, forever. We should point that out, right? Like if you have an yeah. old episode, we just started it with a couple of episodes ago, but if you want to go back and like, go back, hey, this was several months ago, but I still want to contribute, or I still want to see what other people had to say. You know, it's endless, right? That's the nice mm-hmm. thing about a slow chat.
Do it on your own time, when you find the question, when you find the episode. And we'll be posting 5 questions after every episode starting on Tuesday. So it'll be a question Tuesday, question Wednesday, all the way through Saturday. Typically, we post them at 6 a.m. Pacific. And that's 9 a.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. UK time, 11 p.m. Sydney. So you can participate no matter where you are.
Yep. So take a look at that. You can just go on Twitter and look for hashtag Diesel Chat. Mm-hmm. Also, Ishel, already we've got our second Drinks with Diesel. It's going to be coming up at the end of the month.
I know, Drinks with Diesel, if you haven't, if you don't know already, it's when we have a fifth Monday, and typically we have episodes on the first and third Monday of the month, but then with the fifth Monday, gives us a chance to do something a little cool, a little fun, engage with our listeners. And so last Drinks with Diesel was a hit. We gave out some prizes. We met new people. Mm-hmm. We connected new people. And I think that's one of the best parts about having these live events, is that we can meet our listeners, and yeah, our listeners can meet each other.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me, it's like, there's a lot of times that people listen to shows and it's like, oh, that's its own thing. But we really want people to feel like, hey, you're part of this, right? You are part of the Diesel crew. Everybody can jump in and have a voice here too. And so I think this is kind of a fun, light way to be able to make that work. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say that some of our episodes have come directly from something that a listener may have mm-hmm. said. And so we just, you know, in celebration, we're gonna have a happy hour open. And Brent, you wanna give us the date? Because yeah, it's also a special time for you.
So Friday, August 28th. That's actually that's my birth. Well, it's not my birthday. Sorry. It's a couple days after my birthday. Weekend. Yeah. My actual birthday is August 26th. So we'll have a little Drinks with Diesel and Brent's birthday kind of combined, I guess.
Yeah.
No gifts necessary. Just show up.
Just GIFs.
Have you shifted your pronunciation on that? Do we have to have another conversation?
No, I said no gifts, just GIFs.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, the second one.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to be GIFs.
No, it's supposed to be GIFs.
Anyway.
All right.
Friday, so August 28th.
For my birthday from Ishel, what I'm asking for is for her to learn the correct pronunciation of GIFs and to use it properly for the year. Friday, August 28th, that will be our next episode of Drinks with Diesel. We will have a sign up, which is at diesel.org/drinks. I believe that's the right one. Did we double check that?
I think it's correct.
I think that is correct. Yeah. So diesel.org/drinks. You can go sign up for the event, and then we'll send you the link through that. And we would love to have any of you there. We'll jump in some games. We'll do maybe some more giveaways and a couple of other fun things there for that episode. So please come join us.
It is time for our fun finds. Today I have a browser for my for the phone. I believe it's maybe an extension on a laptop. Mm-hmm. But I use my phone the most, so it is a browser on the phone. It's called DuckDuckGo browser, and you simply download that browser. And I like it because it keeps you from being tracked on the web. Mm. So I know that Google tracks everything, and I mean, Google Chrome tracks everything. So I do use Chrome, but I also like that. I don't know if I'll ever switch to something else because I use so many Google apps, but I do like having that option, and it loads faster. It clears your history every time. So it just loads faster. Sometimes Apple articles don't show up right. When you try to copy that link, it'll point you to an Apple app that someone can't see. So I like to point something over to DuckDuckGo, and then from DuckDuckGo, I can share it with anybody. So DuckDuckGo browser for your phone.
All right. Very good. So I am loath to recommend my fun finds. I hate to do this.
Yeah, we may not be friends after this, Brent.
Yeah. Recently I had to buy a new computer. So I bought a new Mac, and with the educators discount and whatever, the way that they kind of bundled it, it came together with Apple AirPods.
And oh, gosh.
And I have for years been an opponent, and I'd say these things look so ugly and whatever. And why
they
would
still
you?
Do.
Yeah, they still do. I will admit that. Like, why would you want this? Like, you need to charge it, and then you need to charge it again, and then you have to, what, you drop them? What if you lose them, right? They're on it, and it costs you $100-something. I've had endless problems with Apple AirPods, but you know, I kind of said, well, whatever. I guess if someone gave them to me for free, I would probably take them. And so Apple, when I bought my Mac, Apple gave them to me for free. Now, so obviously for probably most of our listeners, I would guess probably have AirPods and are like, what? What's your problem with them? And my new thing is they're pretty awesome. They're like, I have to admit, like, they are pretty great for functionality. They just work. Like, you open them up and your phone just goes, oh, you're using them right now. You take one out of your ear and it pauses it right then for you. You don't have to go back into your phone. You don't have to click a button. You don't have to do anything. It's ready to go. And so these are not by any means new. Everybody knows what Apple AirPods are. They still do make you look like an unaware alien that just landed on the on the planet. I will admit that. So I'm trying to find out a way to like get some. I know they have like little sticky steels you can put over them to like kind of cover the color or make them more funky designed or whatever. So I'm looking for ones that are
cover up the shame.
Yeah, I'm trying to get ones that are like hair, and so it just looks like a big. Burst
Side
of ear hair. Yeah, just a big burst of ear hair coming out. And so that's less embarrassing to me than having the thing. But I have to say, sorry to do it, Ishelle. Apple AirPods are pretty great. And so that is my fun find. It's been
all right,
pretty fun.
Well, that's great. I'm not sold on Apple earrings, but awesome.
I get it, and I totally support your desire to not have this, but
we'll see you in a year.
But when you buy your new computer and you get your free pair, you're gonna do the same thing. You're gonna go, oh gosh, Brent, you're right, it's terrible, but I love them. Right. All right, let's wrap everything up. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We still do, if you would like to get a one-of-a-kind diesel pin, we would love to see your review on Apple Podcasts. We also check on other places occasionally, but not as often, so we should take a look sometime soon to see if people have left on Spotify or other things like that. There's a lot of places out there that you might be listening, not on Apple. So, but if you want a diesel pin, again, that's our enamel pin that you can only win through leaving us a review.
Yep. To find more on this episode, the show notes or other episodes, you can check us out at diesel.org.
Mm-hmm. And you can find us on Twitter. You can find the show at dieselpod, and you can find me at Brent G. Warner.
You can find me, Ishelle, at ixy_pixy. That's ixy_pixy. In Changana, a language of South Mozambique, thank you is kanimambo. So kanimambo for tuning in to the Diesel Podcast.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good one. Take care.
See you.